This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Well, time to say good afternoon, Gary Schofield.
Good afternoon.
They're meeting in the Middle East, in America. The respective governments are trying to see how they can quell the flames of a conflagration which could engulf the Persian Gulf. How do you see it, Gary Schofield?
Well, interestingly, I like to look at it as the two major events that have occurred since last we talked last week. And you remember, you asked a similar question of what would the future be? Will it be negotiated? Will there be more war? And in war talk, Iran sent the United States a message by firing so close to the UAE nuclear facilities. They were telling the story that if you escalate this conflict and reestablish warfare, we will strike nuclear facilities. And that means not only the UAE or any other facility in the region, but especially and specifically Israeli nuclear facilities, for which they do have the capability to attack with hypersonic weaponry. As we've mentioned before, very hard to stop that, many times the speed of sound. So that was the message to Trump. And if you remember what happened, he came back and he said, well, my goodness, all these Arab countries have said to me, we have to stop. And so I was just about to attack, but I decided that I wouldn't. And I believe that might have had something to do with it. So today, actually just minutes ago, really, he said that efforts are largely agreed, that a solution is nearly there. We don't have full details, and it isn't a full solution, but I think it's a reflection of the desire for the United States to walk away from this conflict.
Yeah, because
so that's how I see it there.
Yeah, because
and the other... carry on.
Sorry, because yesterday when I woke up, there was a thing on my television set which said Iran is ready to strike again, so things have changed in 24 hours.
Well, yes, and the intelligence reports say that Iran has reconstituted its ability to strike again. So those rocket launchers, the missile sites, have been reconstituted at least along the Strait of Hormuz. There is a battle, as there is in all conflict, between attrition and how many weapons you can produce. Iran has got an advantage because it produces much smaller, much faster, much cheaper rocketry in terms of its drone capability. So, yes, but, you know, it doesn't mean necessarily that that's a conflict, because all sides in conflict want to put their best foot forward before they make a negotiated settlement. So hopefully it is also reflective of that, because, as Mal has pointed out in the introduction to this piece, the entire region could be consumed by that conflict starting again. And who knows where it would lead should nuclear facilities be struck. I mean, how do you think that a country like Israel, with a nuclear capacity, would tolerate having nuclear fallout on its population, for example? These are questions that the great students of conflict have to ask before we go back in.
Oh, it is such a mess. And of course, talking about messes, back at home, of course, the news of the week, and this has turned many Republicans against Donald Trump. It's the money from the IRS that he's allegedly giving to the January 6th insurrectionists.
I see, yes. There are many of those stories, but for me, as I said in the opening piece, major event that has occurred that I think is more of a seismic shift, and I think is heading along that path that you're considering, is the resignation of Tulsi Gabbard.
Yes.
So for me, that's very significant. Tulsi Gabbard, as you might know, is a great exemplary career, a member of the armed forces, former senator from Hawaii. She's part of that MAGA movement, was originally a Democrat, moved to the Republican side to back Trump. She was highly acclaimed. She ran the intelligence services, and she came out if you remember, and it caused a lot of furor to say that there was no evidence at the time for Iran pursuing a nuclear weapon, of which she was quelled and withdrew a lot of that data. But her deciding, albeit because she's married a New Zealander and that New Zealander is now stricken with cancer, that she's now stepping down from the MAGA movement. So that actually changes the character of governance of Trump's administration. Not only are you seeing that, but you're also seeing J.D. Vance, also a big player and like taken to be the next president of the United States and all the rest of that, suddenly he is in the shadows by Marco Rubio. It's Marco Rubio who played no role or little role in trying to solve the Ukraine war, plays an enormous role in everything else. His hemisphere is the hemisphere of the West. It is of Venezuela. It is of Cuba. It is. He's playing a huge role in all of these conflicts and trying to settle them. He has taken the spotlight from Vance. So that has again changed the character of what the Trump administration will look like in the future.
Yep.
And all dependent on how this blunder of the Iran war proceeds.
Gary, do you think Castro, not his brother, but his younger brother, what's his younger brother's yes. name? Is going to be indicted.
Yeah, or Pablo.
Is he going to be indicted? I just saw Rubio at a press conference. He is the most boring politician out there. He's boring.
Who is boring?
Rubio.
Well, charisma is in the eye of the beholder, it would seem. But if there is another move, and just put it in the sphere of geopolitics. So here is Trump. He wants to take everybody's minds off this. So we're all talking about UFOs. He wants to take any consequences of the financial fallout from the war. And he wants to look at his successors. So he has Venezuela. And it's a parallel to what's happening in Cuba. So if he does something like that, and he might be toying with that idea, then that would be a success in the middle of what stumbling is happening now. So you never know. I wouldn't count that Castro is off the hook, put it that way.
Well, could it be another Bay of Pigs 2.1?
No, I don't think so. Bay of Pigs is an extremely good parallel, though, in terms of being such an important event in the U.S. history. And as you might know, that was actually a CIA operation, and it was Kennedy that decided not to back it, and it was a debacle that had major repercussions in the Kennedy administration, in the future with the CIA, everything, and even the reputation of Kennedy for going forward was tarnished, and the world changed because of the Bay of Pigs. In this particular case, special forces are incredible. Look at what did happen in Venezuela. So, and I'm not suggesting that something forward like is moving in that direction, but it could be. I don't think that it would be a major land operation. The United States is wary of having a lot of boots on the ground that could be trapped in foreign lands. The U.S. is a very mighty air power, a very mighty naval power, and a mighty infantry. It has a million members. But when it comes to being spread thinly around the world and maintaining peace, like in countries like Iran, where there's 90 million people, that is a different story, and I don't think the president would be foolish enough to attempt a Bay of Pigs.
Yep. We'll let you rest your voice because I know you've got a bit of a cold there, so we'll leave you.
I have. Thank you. I did want to just say one little thing about the UFOs, if I may.
Yep.
Yes? So that's what everybody seems to be talking about, and all the files have been released and all the rest of that. But we have 2 trillion stars that we can see in our universe that can be detected from us. And of those... Oh, that's galaxies, not stars. Of those trillions of stars, there are going to be so many planets, because we know that.
Yeah.
And we have radio waves. We discovered that a long time ago. They're like any other waves, but a different frequency. They're like light waves. Every wave is a different frequency of the same energy, so any civilization could easily communicate with us if they wanted, or communicate with anybody, or communicate with themselves. Yeah. But out of all those stars and all those systems and all those galaxies and all those planets, for decades we have watched and listened, and there is nothing.
Yep. Anyway, time to go. Did you watch the final Colbert show early in the week with Paul McCartney and Elvis Costello?
Absolutely.
And I'm going
to absolutely brilliant show. And I didn't mean to pour cold water on everyone's dreams of an alien saving us, but it could mean that we have a civilization that destroys itself if we're not careful. So maybe we should learn that lesson. But yes, Colbert, and I know that people are making this an issue of free speech. And how dare Trump try and remove a wonderfully popular comedian. I do think that we should also be aware of how much we are influenced by media, by entertainment, by Hollywood, by comedians, and what a political role that plays. And if those that have an agenda are not trying to influence us through this, then it would seem that they're missing an opportunity, because they have done so in the past, if you wanted to look up Operation Mockingbird as an example. So we just have to ask ourselves, how much is free speech, how much is good comedian, how much is good movies that encourage us to have conflict or glorify war or any of those things? How much are we actually being influenced by those that have an agenda against?
Okay, we're going to end.
My thought for the week.
We're going to end. We're going to play you Hello Goodbye by Sir Paul McCartney, leading out the all-star band Colbert. There was John Baptiste. There was Elvis Costello. And at 6.1 or 6.7 Americans watched this. I hope Stuart was watching. This was the great night with Sir Paul McCartney out front, and he had all his superstar friends. We'll catch you next week, and look after your cold.
Wonderful. Look forward to it.
It's a pleasure, yes. I hope you were watching, because this made my night. Here we go, and hope we come up.
But I say
that is a song that brought down the house, ending Colbert's reign on CBS from the Ed Sullivan Theatre in New York City. Sir Paul McCartney at 83, leading out the band with the Beatles, Hello, Goodbye, John Baptiste, Elvis Costello, and a crowd of thousands, including his late-night talkback friends. At Free FM 89.0, Mel, great stuff. Well, talking at a quarter to two, who to?
Beverly Wood has spent most of her life in the Waikato. Early on, she could be understood to be particularly interested in reading. And why not? It can form a lifelong love. Beverly, you've been galvanized into action because you see that the city is missing one of its libraries, through no fault of its own, we add. That was a fire.
That's right.
And that fire gutted one of a row of businesses with firewalls between them, we would hope, and that had the byproduct of putting the Hillcrest Library out of action. Could you take it from there?
Yes. It's greatly missed by people in the community. It's very close to numerous schools, play centres, libraries, kindergartens, not far from the university. And it's been part of the Hillcrest area for years now.
And you have decided that it's time to raise the issue simply because there's not anything on the ground that you can see that suggests that it will be reinstated in that ideal location where it is up in Hillcrest.
No, it's a bit of an eyesore. It's on a bus route. There's parking right outside. There is a temporary Hillcrest Library down at the Hamilton Gardens, which is very nice, but the access is not terribly good, particularly at busy times of the day, because Cobham Drive is so busy, it's very hard to get your car in and out, particularly if you want to head back to Hillcrest.
And you mention about the peak traffic makes it difficult.
Yes, if you're coming out of the car park, which is the closest one to the temporary library, it is very hard to get across two lanes of traffic to turn into Grey Street to head back to Hillcrest.
You speculate that you're not alone in missing the library at its original location there.
No, that's right. The temporary one is very attractive. It's very cosy, and they've made the most of it. It would be wonderful if they could keep both, but I do realise that, of course, would be way beyond the wildest dreams.
And sometimes it's not easy with books. It's a very different matter for someone having a memory stick put in their pocket and they have all that they need, whereas with books we physically have to move them around. And
yes. In
rain, getting in and out of vehicles, if they're big books, it's not easy, is it?
No. The library is used a lot by the elderly and the disabled, people with pushchairs, strollers as they're called these days. So it's not ideal. And there's no schools or kindergartens in the near vicinity either. And the Hillcrest Library has been very much used by the schools. If I've been in there after school time, it's always buzzing with children and parents.
I have to say that these students can come into the central library.
Definitely. Yes, you can use any of the libraries in Hamilton with your card. I certainly advise anyone to take out a library membership because it's free to join if you live inside the city boundaries.
But I see library staff at Central, like our colleague, Jimmy, who is helping out the children and anybody else with their tasks, making T-shirts, etc., etc. So at the moment, there's no. I don't know what's happening with the Hillcrest Library. Whether it's, Dwayne, you got a thought on this?
I read that it's under construction at the moment, so it's in the pipeline with the council. They're having meetings about it, so everyone's got to hang fire to wait and hear what's going to happen. Apparently, they might have to gut the whole thing inside out and outside.
Expense, and that can be the hitch. A library to serve the needs of a large and literate community at Hillcrest and elsewhere. Beverly Wood, thank you for joining us.
It's a
pleasure.
We
know that you have a long tradition in libraries because you hold a certificate to that effect, and you're a lover of books, whatever delights the internet may offer.
It is 10 minutes to 2, thank you, guys. Before he was Phantom of the Opera, he was a pop singer. This is the late Rob Guest from 1978. Dwayne is next. Actually, I've got a vinyl copy of that album, Dedication, amongst my record collection. And it is coming up 9 minutes to 2. Good afternoon, Dwayne.
Good afternoon, troops.
What's been happening on the front for maritime navigation? We talked about a vessel that was left abandoned over at Thames. I think there's been action on that now and it's gone.
Yes, it's pretty gone. That one has already gone. Apparently when they actually winched it, it fell a bit.
Yes, there's value in it. And what else is in offing? Await news of the petroleum tankers.
Yes, I can tell you, Mel, last week, Waitomo Narrawahia ran out of unleaded 91.
It's not as simple as just putting higher premium in the place. If a vehicle's made for a particular rating, you have to stick to it, do you?
Yes, you do. And I can tell you that the petrol at the moment, there's three lots of petrol boats are coming in. One's due in next this week. Another two arriving in at the end of May to June. So they've got enough fuel at the moment, but the category, that story that I'll put you there through with the iwi and the hapu about the port of Tauranga, it's gone to the courts at the moment, and that the hapu and the iwi have not been paid yet for the structure of the new port.
I can tell you that these court cases, they take a while because the judge has got to take advice and go through his law books. He's got to look up environment law. New Zealand law in this country, whether it's criminal, family or environmental, is a sticking point with many. But, hey, the judges have to take time. They have to get it right because the next step up was to the High Court. Appeal. And
So that's what is the story at the moment. They want to start doing this new extension on Port of Tauranga. And at the moment, it's a fight between the hapu and the iwi and the tribe who actually owns the whole port. But they have already done the extensions of the Port of Auckland, which is part of the involved with it. So I don't know why the Port of Auckland got the extensions first to do their part, but it went through under the RMA through with the government. So the government did not include about the Port of Tauranga.
Well, this is under Chris Bishop, of course, and he's making moves on New Zealand. He's got a lot to do. He's going to revamp the councils before the election comes. And, of course, we're going to have we're having the boss of RNZ fly, and that's pleased David Seymour and many, many others.
But, so, you know, we've got to look at it as that, you know, this extension for the port is, you know, is urgency part of what they're trying to say,
yep.
But it's up to the iwi and the hapu and the tribe, which belongs to Portland, the ports of Tauranga, which is Tainui.
Yep.
So they're going to have a meeting with Tainui, are going to have a meeting involved with it, and
yep.
hopefully that they will sit down with the settlement, but as with the port of Tauranga, and their story
yep.
is that the iwi and the hapu have not been paid, so they just got to wait for the judge
yep.
to
yep.
come with the paperwork, so hopefully I'll have the next story.
Anyway, keep us informed. Anyway, before we do go, moving on, the New Zealand French Film Festival is happening in at the Lido Mel.
Wednesday night it opens, and the ambassador of France, Laurence Beau, ambassador to New Zealand, that is, of France, has written, French cinema has long held a special place in the hearts of New Zealand audiences, and this marks the most successful year to date in the country for the festival, and that's with reference to last year,
yep.
From sold-out screenings and so forth. And we look at the program, it's offered through Cambridge as well,
yep.
at the cinema down there.
And we'll keep you informed over the next coming weeks. Hey, if you're in the 80s... remember this particular tune?
Thank you very much for your kind donation. Thank you very much, thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for your kind donation. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much to the folks out there. Thank you very much, thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much to the folks out there. Thank you very, very, very much. You don't know.
Yes, that's the telethon theme, of course. In Hamilton, they used to meet at the Claudin Showgrounds. Those were great days, 24 hours of madness. As we go through New Zealand Music Month, good afternoon, Trevor.
Good afternoon. Nicola Wallace, I think I got her name right, didn't I? getting rid of all these civil servant jobs. I was quite surprised at how many that are going to be replaced by technology. I mean, where does it all end? Are humans becoming surplus to requirements in the field of work and whatnot? Or is there still chances for the old-fashioned get up and go to work and come home in an eight-hour day? Well, it makes you wonder.
Do you reckon if it was left to you, Trevor, you'd arrange things differently and we'd all go to work because we are both willing and would miss it if we didn't?
Well, that's right. I mean, that's how I was in my work life. Technology got me out of a job on two occasions.
After how many years?
52 years.
52 years.
Oh.
All that labour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can never replace you.
Well, they did actually, and not only me, but many others. But I was lucky, having done 52 years, been in a government super as I came from work, I was financially able to accommodate the redundancy. But I saw in first hand people a lot younger than myself, 20s and 30s and so on, that couldn't afford to retire. They won't get the pension or anything, and therefore their future was very daunting. But that's the way things are going.
Yep.
Now it's virtually non-existent company now, New Zealand Post.
Yeah, it's like the Wheel of Fortune. He was New Zealand's youngest singer-songwriter, David Curtis. For your company this afternoon. It's the final Sunday for New Zealand Music Month. Got some beauties coming up next week. We've had a few to this afternoon. Enjoy your week. Stand by. Derek and Peter are here with Harmony Waikato.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.